worthy name of our Lord Jesus, our risen Savior. As I drove here this morning, beautiful Lord's Day morning, and meditating on the scriptures. My wife did most of the driving here this morning. I was too inspired by the service thus far. A lot of comments could be made on the lesson this morning. I appreciate our brother's teaching. We're certainly living in a time of a lot of dry bones, a lot of darkness all around us. When you read the news and see the headlines today, and you see the happenings between China and Russia and the United States and how it all plays together, God alone knows the outcome, but God will never overlook the wickedness of America. We lived in a free country for so many years in a very easy time. We don't know yet what we will face because of all of that, but we know that God knows and He is in control. And when you see the happenings of today and when you see a man who has been a father of three or four children coming from a Christian home who decided that God made him the wrong gender. Why did all this happen? Men are failing to step to the plate and be the leaders that God has called them to be. And that's our subject this morning. We want to look at the Apostle Paul first this morning in the scriptures. You may go to Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to read a number of verses there. And I know Paul is talking to leadership in the church. We want to apply it to all of us this morning. As young people, you are leaders. If we are a child of God this morning, you are a leader. We need to step to the plate of leadership. You are influencing somebody's life. Young men, young sisters, you are influencing lives, fathers and mothers. But you go with me to chapter 20 in Acts, and we're going to begin reading at verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, and not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bounds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching, the kingdom of God shall see my face. The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that is so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We're going to leave off there. In this passage of Scripture, I see four qualities of leadership. And I believe this morning, there's a lot of things here that Paul says to church leaders that he is saying to fathers and saying to each one of us this morning. I believe that, first of all, a godly leader is marked by a servant attitude. Fathers, that's to each one of us this morning, to every one of us. We need to be marked with that servant attitude. We are here to serve. Paul said, I was faithful among you. I held nothing back, but continued to warn them. Paul's servant attitude, I believe, flavors this whole entire message in this passage of Scripture. But he mentions in verse 19 that he was serving the Lord. It is the Lord's work. It's not our work. But we need to step to the plate, brothers and sisters, and take up the responsibility of leadership. Fathers, if you fail to step up to the plate, your family will end up not where you want them to end up. You need to step to the plate and be leaders in homes, in churches. Paul often referred to himself in his messages as a bound servant. You can stay in Acts. We're going to stay there pretty much. But Romans chapter 1, verse 1, the apostle says this, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And there's many scriptures we could turn to this morning. And we're not going to do that for a lack of time. But it was the way he viewed himself, as a servant of Jesus Christ. Do we view ourselves that way? It is God's work. And I think sometimes that a brother questioned in Sunday school why there's so many divisions among us sometimes. And I think it boils down to we fail sometimes to get self out of the way. We fail to see ourselves of who we really are. For we are a servant of the Lord Jesus. We do not belong to ourselves. We are a servant of Jesus Christ. And we should do all that we do to please Him. We serve this morning, dear ones, young people as well. We serve to please God and not to please ourselves. That is the servant attitude. In this chapter, it says in verse 24, but none of these things, Paul says, shall move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. How many times do we let that get in the way, my dear friends, this morning? May we be like Paul in that. We serve the Lord. We answer to God, and someday we will answer to Him. Every father, every young person, every church leader will stand before God individually and will answer, what kind of leader have we been? What kind of father have I been? Was I a serving father? Or did I let my own selfishness step in the way? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, again, you can stay in Acts. I'm going to pull in a few other scriptures here and there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Or do I now persuade men or God? This is the apostle. Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ. But we must seek to please God. Are we seeking to please men? I'm afraid sometimes in our response to situations, we fear sometimes of how it looks to others. Am I hurting my own reputation? Am I ready to stand for truth? I'm ready to stand on the platform of leadership of where God has called me to do. Am I seeking the favor of men or of God? How much does it happen sometimes, fathers, when maybe our child does something that brings embarrassment, and so we respond out of how it appeared to other people and how much it has damaged my reputation? Church leaders, how many times are we related to individuals in the church because of how it looked to the others? Listen, Are we concerned about the salvation of the souls of our children and our people? Are we more concerned about my reputation of how it appears to others? I want you to think about that. I hear too many times when it comes from other fathers and leaders of the church even, and I soon begin to sense that they were more concerned about how it appeared to others. I say, shame on us. Shame on us, dear ones. Sense of pleasing God rather than men allows a godly leader to confront those things which are wrong, those things which are sin. When necessary, sometimes to preach about difficult truth. It is said of Eli that he did not restrain his sons. Do we fail to restrain our children sometimes because we think we love them? Do you give your child everything, and we'll get more on that this afternoon, but do you give your child everything they want so that you can demonstrate your love to them? I'm sure we've all found ourselves in the grocery stores where a child is screaming and kicking and the threats come time after time after time and time after time and nothing happens. What kind of leader are we? When a man truly sees himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, he will take up the towel and the basin as Jesus did in John 13, 1-17 and wash their feet. He will serve others out of love. Here Jesus was. He was the Son of God. But he served. And he is the greatest example of being a servant. Christ's way is that the greatest among us should be the servant of all. Mark 10. I want you to go with me to the second quality that Paul mentions in this passage of Scripture. A godly leader is marked by transparent integrity. Paul said in verse 18, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time." He later mentions that he was with them night and day, being willing to spend and be spent. Is that the kind of leader we are? Are we willing to spend and be spent for the sake of others? He was referring to spending a lot of time with these men. You know, as it calls for church leaders sometimes to be instant in season and out of season. Fathers, it calls for us many times in family life to be instant in season and out of season, even in the most inconvenient time. Maybe your son comes into you, and maybe you have X number of loads of mulch you'd have to get out that day. Say, "Son, I don't have time right now. I've got all this to do." "You better never do that." Here's a question. You better take time then. If not, they will find their answers somewhere else. And we are too busy in our schedules to talk to our people. And we are too busy to talk to our sons and our daughters about issues in their life. And they come and they want answers. They will find their answers somewhere else if we fail in that. We become too busy. They see how we live. They see how honest we are. Our people in our churches, our children in our homes, young people, there are younger ones than you. They see how you relate to situations in life. They see how you respond and how honest you really are. You're not living. We cannot afford to live a double standard of life. Your life must be a single fabric where people can see right through you. A very single fabric where people can see really who you are. That's the kind of leader we must be. We cannot live a double standard. Your children, your church members, if you're a church leader this morning, your members are going to see what's really important to you. Your children are going to see what's really important to you as a leader in the home. They're going to see where your priorities are at. And whether money means the most to you than their life, they're going to see that. I remember what Jeff Jarman told me one time many years ago. He told me that when he went to Brother Glenn Sensnick for help and guidance coming out of the world's system, Glenn never looked at his watch. The best thing you can do when somebody comes to you, especially from the outside, don't look at your watch. I don't wear a watch, but don't look at your clock and act like you're impatient and you don't hardly have time. If you have to make a call to somebody, ask them permission to do that and take time to call them and tell them you're going to be late. Those are important issues in a leader's life. Every father here this morning, even as young people, in the 1940s, a preacher named Will Houghton served as the president of Moody Bible Institute. There was an agnostic man who was contemplating suicide, decided that if he could find a minister who lived his faith, he would listen to him. So he hired a private detector to watch Mr. Houghton. And when the investigator's report came back, he revealed that this preacher's life was above reproach. He was for real. And this man was saved. How many people have we hindered coming to the Lord because we've been inconsistent? We've been wrapped up too much in this world's goods. You know, I look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and many times he challenges me. And I think of what all he went through. He was a tent maker. You don't find him saying much about his occupation and what great things are happening in the tent business. You don't find him talking about those things. Brothers and sisters, I think we do well to learn a few lessons from the Apostle Paul, especially our Lord Jesus. In the third place, a godly leader, I believe, is marked by a godly character. And I want to notice a number of characteristics of a godly character. There are qualities and there are many more that could be mentioned than the three or four that I have mentioned here this morning. But a godly character includes humility. Yes, we could go to the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, and that's all part of it. We're not going to look at that this morning. We don't have time. But I believe that a godly character includes humility. As soon as we think that we're standing, that we've achieved something, we're beginning to fall. But Paul here mentions his own humility. In Matthew 11:29, a very familiar scripture, but I'm just going to page over to that so I can read that verse. Matthew 11:29, where Jesus says in verse 28 that we should come unto me. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls." Humility. You know, it's the only way God can use you. It's the only way God can use me, unless I have a heart of humility. Young people, fathers and mothers, unless we have a heart of humility, it's the only way God can use us in our roles of leadership in life, is to follow our Lord's example. Moses also was described as the most humble, or as the most meekest man on the face of the earth. May we be of that spirit of humility. In a nutshell, biblical humility is a conscious awareness of your utter dependence on Jesus Christ. And we see it in Paul when he explains not that we are adequate in ourselves in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God this morning. And that's the only place and the only way that we can fill our roles as leadership in our homes, as young people, as ministers and deacons and bishops is in the spirit of humility. The Apostle Paul said also that he can do all things through Christ which strengthens him. Our strength this morning lies in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. And I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to turn to the Corinthian letter again just for a few words. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Dependence upon God. Dependence upon God. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 to 9, talks about the deceitfulness of our hearts. The Bible very strongly warns against self-confidence. True, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. But there's a huge difference between putting our confidence in God than putting our confidence in ourselves. Do we believe that this morning? There's other scriptures that we could turn to. I don't think I'm going to take time to do that. Secondly, a godly character includes love, concern, and compassion for others. As leaders in the church, as fathers in the home, our children and our church people need to see that love and compassion that we have for them. Even in times of correction, they need to see and experience that love and concern and compassion that we have for them. I believe these qualities in the life of the Apostle Paul are behind the tears that he talked about in verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. How many times, fathers and mothers, have we shed tears? How many times as church leaders have we shed tears because of the heavy weight and the heavy responsibility? But Paul talks about this different times. He again mentions his tears in verse 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, warn everyone, night and day, with tears, he says. I believe the weight of his responsibility rested upon him. And I believe the weight of the responsibility of leading in our homes, and as young people, and as leaders of the church, many times brings those tears. And he especially mentions this in the context of admonishing these elders, especially with regard to false teaching. I believe that the Apostle Paul said many things sometimes that were hard to say, very difficult to say. And I believe that God calls us sometimes to say difficult things as church leaders and as fathers, and we'd rather not say. We'd rather look the other way. It's a lot easier. But the consequences are severe if we fail to take our place of leadership and responsibility. And there were more tears as the Apostle Paul was accompanied to the ship, and he told them that they would see his face no more. In verse 37, as he left them there, the burden, his heartfelt burden for those people as he left them there. Do our children and our church people sense that in us as leaders? You know, people really don't care how much you know unless they really know how much you really care. Do your children, do your young people really care? Do they know how much you really care? Do they feel that? But we'll talk more about that tonight. But Paul was moved with tears when he heard of Christians who were not walking obediently to Christ. And I'm sure that there were many times. As parents, we shed tears sometimes because of things that took place. But maybe we should never shrink back from the role of leadership. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you, he says, with many tears, not so that you would be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have, especially for you. May that be this prevailing spirit in your homes, that your children know you really care. Your church members know you really care. If you need to correct someone, you need to correct one of your children, or you need to correct a church member. I could give you stories of homes where a father ruled with a rod of iron, the authoritarian way, and the results that were there. I'm not going to take time to go into all that this morning. Time is too short. But do your children know and feel your love and sense that you have a concern for them in the midst of correcting them, and they feel that compassion? Do they see you as that kind of leader? Godly character next includes also a steadfastness in trials. The Ephesian elders had seen Paul go through the trials of life that came upon him through the plot that the Jews made for him. They saw all of that. The book of Acts does not record as many plots as the book of Ephesians does. I wish we had more time to spend time in the book of Ephesians yet this morning. The Ephesian elders had also seen Paul's behavior when the Gentiles rioted against him. In all of these situations, they saw Paul, even though he despaired of life itself, trust all the more in the living God. Your children, do your church members see you trusting in God this morning? Young people, do they see stability in you, those who are younger than you? If you're the oldest in a family, you have siblings who are looking to you. Do they see that in you? You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10, where they saw Paul almost despaired of life. But Paul didn't grow bitter. He didn't go into a rage because he's being unfairly treated. Life is unjust. How many times do we feel that life is unfair? I want to tell you something this morning. Life is unfair. Not everything's going to come to everybody on an equal manner. And we accept that. Maybe we've been treated unfairly. Maybe we've been taken advantage of. And so we face the temptation and the trial of bitterness and wishing we could lash out. Listen, we need to crucify those things. Maybe you feel your children turned out the way they did if you're an older parent here this morning because of the fault of someone else. Don't go down that road. It doesn't work. It won't end up well. Well, I believe in the next main point. We mentioned three already. Thus, the godly leader is marked by servanthood, by transparent integrity, and by a godly character. And there have been many other characters we could talk about this morning. But I believe that in the fourth place, a godly leader is marked by faithful biblical teaching and by living a faithful life. Faithful biblical teaching and living what we teach. Fathers, I mentioned before, church leaders, young people, they will see the inconsistency in your life. But I believe that faithful biblical teaching requires not dodging the difficult truths. Not dodging the difficult times when you need to sit down with one of your children, one of your teenagers, and discuss an issue that we are facing as a family or as that they are facing. But again, they need to feel your love and compassion. Paul did not shrink those times of declaring what needed to be declared. What were some of these truths? I think that we can surmise maybe a little bit, a few of them, by reading the book of Ephesians, which he later wrote to the church. If we read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we'll notice a few of them. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And I believe that he goes on to talk about human depravity in chapter 2, verse 1. Where he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were no different. And something came out of the, I think, in the Sunday school lesson. I remember being out here in the present prison, talking to prisoners a number of years ago. And I was explaining to him from the scriptures the way to salvation. And I went on for a while. And he didn't say anything. You know, finally he looked at me and he said, you know, you seem to have it pretty well cut out. You know what? That brought to me my senses. I wasn't touching his heart. And it taught me something. He did not feel that connection. I too once was there. I too once was nobody better than he was. But I didn't portray that. I think sometimes we need to realize that we need to make sure we have a heart connection. And that we were no better than they. But because of this salvation is totally from God's part, we have done nothing to merit what Jesus has done for us. But because of his love and compassion for us, he provided a way to salvation. Otherwise, we would all be hopelessly doomed this morning. He shows us in chapter 2, as he goes on there, in verses 11, he shows us how the wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles is broken down, and that we're all on one level. All of these doctrines level human pride and exalt at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. We believe that this morning. And I believe this morning because pride robs man of what he really needs. Can we get rid of pride this morning? Come to the foot of the cross. But like health, food, they are profitable for spiritual health as we think about what we really need at the foot of the cross. And so Paul taught them, and so should we. Secondly, as we think about a godly leader is marked by faithful biblical teaching. Faithful biblical teaching, I believe, requires practical application that helps people to understand how to live. And I believe today our preaching needs to be practical. Yes, we need the doctrinal preaching. But I believe that if we want to grow in our faith, we need to help our young people, our children as they grow up, know how to understand it. And we need to demonstrate to them a life that is lived like that. Paul taught what was profitable or helpful for spiritual growth and health. We're concerned about healthy food and all of that. But are we concerned about our spiritual food and our teaching? You could go to Timothy this morning. Maybe I'll just turn to Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I want to reach what the apostle says in the book of Timothy here, chapter 1. It's chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having answered have turned aside unto vain jangling. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Jesus faced church leaders who should have known what was happening and what was coming. But they did not. They did not. So what difference should this scripture make in my life, first, and in the lives of those whom I teach? Sound application always comes out of a sound interpretation of a biblical text in its context. And we should be able to look at your Bible and say, yes, I see that. I see this is what God really wants me to do. Do you understand this morning what God really wants you to do in life? And we're not going to go into what is God's will for my life. But do you understand from the Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you? We have the promise that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to you, not new truths, but will reveal all truth to you. And as we go through life and we mature in our Christian life, we're always learning. Are you open to what the Spirit says? Be open. I'll say it like this. This was mentioned last Sunday in a sermon. And the moderator also mentioned it. Youth, I want you to get this. Be faithful today. Fathers and mothers, I want you to get it too. Be faithful today with what God has laid before you and leave tomorrow in His hands. Do what God is asking you to do right now. Today, the opportunities He brings before you and leave tomorrow in His hands. He will tomorrow reveal to you what He wants you to do tomorrow. Faithful biblical teaching should take place both in formal and informal settings. By that I mean, it doesn't always happen to church. It doesn't always happen up front when the minister's preaching. But in informal and formal settings. Be ready to do it any time, instant in season and out of season. We have some families in our congregation that come from other church settings, and because of that, I enjoyed it so greatly, just sitting in a living room discussing the doctrine of salvation with them. Take a lesson at a time. And had a tremendous time discussing the scriptures together. And may God help us to take that opportunity. Fathers, take that opportunity with your children. It don't matter how busy you think you are. Maybe they read something in the scriptures they don't understand. Take time to explain that to them. Look at the scriptures together. Take them through the word. Fathers, we need to be instant in season and out of season. Next point is this. Faithful biblical teaching reflects a seriousness about eternal truths. In the last point, may I mention this yet? Your children, your young people, need to see you as a father who love to talk about spiritual things. They need to see it as part of your life. Your members need to see that as you as a church leader, as a person who loves to talk about spiritual things. And I think after the Sunday school lesson we had this morning and all that was said, there ought to be a lot of things to talk about the Lord over lunchtime. I throw that challenge to you. There's time for other talk as well. But I think as we think about the seriousness of eternal truths, and I don't have time for a lot of humor from the pulpit. There may be a place for a little bit of it, but I don't have time for a lot of it. And maybe I'm too serious sometimes. I don't know. But maybe it takes some of that sometimes to keep people awake on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know. But we'll find out this afternoon after you're done eating lunch. Paul realized that eternal destiny of souls was at stake. Young parents this morning, you have children who have a soul that's going to go on in eternity somewhere. Do we understand that? You can go all over the world, but if you miss your mission calling at home, you missed it. I'm not against mission work. We're evangelistic. Last week, the day I was going to leave, I went to the doctor to have a specialist, actually. The doctor sent me to a specialist to have a pre-cancer spot that seems to be very persistent on my face. And they decided the best thing would be is to remove the whole thing. She said, you want to have it done right now? I decided, hey, let's get it all done right now, and then we're out of here. So While she was cutting away on my face, she had the rest of my face covered. She's asking me who the Mennonites really are. And I'm trying to explain to her who the Mennonites really are, and she's chopping my cheek out. So anyway, I did have a lot of time to witness to them while they were cutting on me, even though I wasn't talking quite plain. The whole side of my cheek was numb, but I did try to explain to them. I believe in the next point, faithful biblical teaching proclaims repentance and faith as the core requirement for those who want to be right with God. And apart from repentance, there'll be no entrance into the kingdom of heaven, the scripture says. Dear ones, this morning, repentance means turning from sin toward God. Turning away, a total change of life. And it is impossible to turn toward the holy God and at the same time consciously holding on to some sin in my life. Something, a hidden room in my heart that I want to keep for myself. Have you let Jesus come into your whole heart? He wants everything or not. Parents, this morning, there's another message in relation to this whole human. This whole home situation is leading your children to Christ. We need to be faithful in pointing them to Jesus Christ. I need to move on. That's a message in itself. But can we say, as we come to repentance, oh God, I have sinned against you. And I no longer want to live that way. Have mercy upon me, oh God. Give your whole heart to Him. And just as we begin the Christian life through repentance and faith, so we should go into living daily by repentance and faith as God's Word shines into the dark areas of our life. And we see areas where we need to change as God reveals to you how we need to live. Does the world view us? Do they view our homes as godly homes? Do they view us as people who are living for the Lord and directs them to the Lord? If you want a good biblical example of the qualities of fatherhood this morning, just go to the book of Mark. And somebody mentioned about Jairus' daughter this morning. And you look at that scripture. I'm not going to take time to go into that this morning, but in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 24 and 35 to 43. And you look at the qualities of a godly father, of a father who was willing to be that servant for his family. May God bless you this morning. I trust I've given you enough to think about. But in conclusion this morning, whether you are an official church leader this morning, Jairus was I was just blessed as I studied that account in relation to this message this morning. He was a prominent man. He had a role of leadership. Was he even concerned about his own reputation? I don't read nothing in that account that he was even concerned about his own reputation. But he was willing to go out there, and what are the Jews going to do with me? He was willing to go at any cost. And he had faith to believe that God could heal his daughter. And he would bring her back to life. Nothing wavered. Jesus said, only believe. My friends this morning, only believe. What about your character? Are you growing in humility and love and concern for others and in steadfastness in trials? And while you may not have some gifts that others have, are we growing in understanding and applying all of God's Word to all of your life? And then sharing what you are learning and growing to others? J.C. Watts said this, to say America can have strong leadership without strong character is to say that we can get water without the wet. Dear ones this morning, are we where God has called us to be? Are we the kind of leader that God has called us to? Maybe rise, step to the plate, and take the responsibility of leadership. Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we just humbly bow before you this morning with humble hearts, realizing that in ourselves we are as nothing. Realizing that within ourselves we can do nothing. Oh God, we pray for each youth here this morning. And in the responsibilities that you have called them, wherever they are serving, at home or away, God, give them strength and courage to go on. Father, we just pray that every father here this morning would be faithful in stepping to the plate, taking the leadership role of their homes. Be with each church leader here this morning. Bless them with wisdom and power as they give themselves to you, Lord, to your work. So, dear Father, bless the Father's the services today. May your name be exalted in all of this morning. It's what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.